tummy grumbling right before we're getting started here this morning, and I was reminded of the story. The family invited the preacher over for dinner after church one Sunday, and Sunday morning during worship he had led the opening prayer and had prayed for about 6 or 7 minutes, long prayer, and the little boy had made note of that. And so when the preacher got to their house and the family asked him to say the blessing for the food, and the little boy kind of groaned a little bit. He was ready to eat. The preacher said a short little 30-second prayer. And after that, the boy looked at him and said, "Mister, you don't pray as long when you're hungry, do you?" Well, maybe I won't preach as long if I'm hungry. I know there's some good food back there, and hope that everyone will stay and enjoy that with us. But we do want to look at a few things together before we do that. We have all probably heard at one point or another of God's plan of salvation. But this morning, we want to look at the other side of things. We want to look at Satan's plan of damnation. You know, God has a plan for salvation. It's laid out for us throughout the New Testament. Wonderful things there. We're familiar with many of them. And, of course, it beginning all the way back at the beginning when already He had determined that He was going to send Jesus to have to die on the cross. The Bible refers to Him as the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So it wasn't a last-minute thing. It was planned out thousands of years in advance. But you know, the devil has a plan to counteract God every step of the way. Now, he tried from the time of Adam and Eve on to destroy God's plans. And every time he thought he had it done, he realized that God's plan had another part to it that he hadn't recognized. You know, we talk about having a plan B sometimes. Well, Satan would attack God's plan A, and God would come up with plan B. It work around the difficulties that Satan put into play. We see that from the time of Satan tempting Adam and Eve to fall, and him thinking, surely, well, I've won this battle. But he didn't know about God's plan to redeem mankind. But there is a lot of difference between God's plan and Satan's plan. Satan makes it easy with his one step, any step, pick your steps plan. God demands that we follow all of His steps in order to please Him, in order to be saved. We've got to go all the way through. We can't just pick and choose like a buffet with God. But Satan doesn't care which step of His you follow. Any one of them will do. Because any one of them will mean you didn't follow one of God's steps. And He'll win your soul as the prize. You'll lose, but He'll win. So we've got to watch out for that. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 24 through 26, Paul tells Timothy, "The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." You see, the devil wants to capture everyone. And many have been snared by him. They've fallen into his snare. And God wants to give repentance. He wants people to be recovered out of that snare. Unfortunately, as it's often said, there are three votes for where you will spend eternity. God's vote is for you to spend eternity in heaven. The devil's vote is for you to spend eternity in hell. And you get to cast the deciding vote. Which will it be? he says that the servant of the Lord must teach those, instruct those that oppose themselves. Do you realize that when we get caught up in Satan's snares, when we get wrapped up in sin, we're actually our own worst enemy. We are opposing ourselves. We are doing the very things that will destroy our soul. And that's just the way Satan likes it. But God doesn't want that to happen. God knows that we're on the wrong side. We're fighting against ourselves. But we've got to watch out for that. Now let's look at some of the steps in Satan's plan of damnation. One step in Satan's plan of damnation is don't listen to it. Now what's it? Every one of these is going to have it. What's it? Well, it, in this case, is the gospel or God's plan of salvation. And that's the it that we're going to mention several times here. So don't listen to the gospel. Don't listen to God's plan of salvation. That's Satan's first step, or at least one of the steps. His aren't necessarily in any particular order. He doesn't care about order. He's all about chaos and disorder. So any of these will destroy you as well as any other one. But Acts chapter 7, verses 53 through 58, after Stephen had preached to the council there, they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, they gnashed on him with their teeth, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." And look at verse 57. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. Can you picture this scene? Here is a man trying to explain to other men about the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and the salvation from God that's being offered. And what do they do? It's almost, if it weren't such a serious circumstance, it would be almost humorous to see grown men acting this way. They gnashed at him with their teeth. They're grinding their teeth and so childish. And then he said something about seeing the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God, and ho ho ho, then they cry out and they stop it. Can you imagine? Okay, like you see the little kid, I can't hear you. They get their fingers stuck in their ears. These are grown men. They're acting like kindergartners. But that's Satan's plan. Now, he doesn't necessarily have to get us to stick our fingers in our ears and be yelling and to not hear, just so long as we don't listen. There are many people who hear the gospel on a regular basis, but they don't listen to it. And so as long as we don't listen, Satan will win. But then another step in Satan's plan of damnation is don't believe it. We may hear the gospel and maybe even listen to the gospel, but as long as we don't believe it, he can still win. Mark 4 and verse 15 says, "And these are they by the wayside." Jesus is explaining the parable of the sower. "These are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts." So these are those they heard, but before they could believe, Satan came along and snatched it out of there. And so that's one of his plans, one of his steps in his plan is to get people not to believe the gospel. And to do that, he has many, many ways. He has mentioned and will mention to people through others all of the old myths of all the different cultures that involve either a god having a son, like some of the Roman and Greek myths do. Or he'll mention the ones about a virgin giving birth, that some cultures have myths about that. Or he'll mention things about people rising from the dead, as some cultures have. The Egyptian gods, some of them were supposedly had died and rose from the dead. And so he'll mention those things to try to say, well, see, that thing about that being God's son, born of a virgin and rising from the dead, that's just a myth like all these other myths. And so I don't believe that. It's just a story like all the other stories that are out there. He has lots of, and he'll throw, well, there's not enough evidence for this, or there's not enough, and he has all sorts of counterfeits and tricks up his sleeve to try to get people not to believe the simple facts of the gospel. And he succeeds in many occasions. But another step in Satan's plan of damnation is if you do hear it, and even if you do believe it, don't change because of it. Don't change. It doesn't matter what you say you believe as long as you don't act on it. So don't change because of it. Don't do anything any differently. Acts 5 and verse 3, Peter said to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land?" Here was a man who had heard the gospel, had seemingly believed the gospel, had become a Christian, even gone so far as to give some money to the church to help the poor and to help the church. But he still hadn't changed his lying heart. And his greed and covetousness, coupled with that lie, condemned him to death. And quite likely, the Bible does not say exactly what happened to their souls afterwards, but quite likely Ananias and his wife Sapphira lost their souls. We know they lost their life, but quite likely they lost their soul as well because they would not seemingly repent of this sin of lying to the Holy Ghost. See, the devil doesn't want us to repent of our sins. He wants us to continue living in our sins. And if he can do that, he wins. But then, the fourth step we want to notice in Satan's plan of damnation is don't admit it. Even if you believe it, even if you know it's true, don't admit it's true. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 9 through 12, he speaks of even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And the Bible warns us here, when we know the truth, we've got to believe that truth, we've got to admit to that truth, we have to acknowledge it, we have to confess the truth. And God's plan of salvation, of course, we are to confess Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, Satan certainly doesn't want us to confess that. But he doesn't want us to even confess to any truth. He doesn't want us to admit to any truth. And how successful is he becoming in our society today? How many times do we hear people say, well, there's no absolute. You can't know that for sure. And that's your belief, and this is my belief, and we've all got our own beliefs, and it's okay. We can believe whatever we want to believe. But there's no right and wrong. There's no good and bad. We hear these things from people all the time in our society. Satan is winning many of those hearts and minds. The fact of the matter is, there is truth and lie. There is good and evil. There is right and wrong. And if we deny that, if we won't admit that, we are so confused and our soul is in great danger until we'll realize that we need to believe the truth instead of the lie. Then the fifth thing we want to notice is that one step in Satan's plan of damnation is don't obey it. You know, there are some people, and I have met some people, who believed what the Bible said, would even admit to it. I've even had people tell me, yeah, you know I should go to church. I know I should become a Christian. I know I need to be baptized. I know that's what the Bible tells me to do. But they won't obey it. They won't do it. How sad it will be for them on the day of judgment when they knew the good they should have done and didn't do it. They knew what was right. And they even admitted to knowing what was right. How sad a case that is. You see, Satan is perfectly happy for us to read our Bibles, even quote our Bibles, tell other people what our Bibles say. He's perfectly happy for us to come sit in church every Sunday, every time the doors are open. He's perfectly happy for us to pray. He's perfectly happy for us to tell other people to pray. As long as we don't obey God, He's happy. In fact, in some ways, that makes Him more happy for people to come to church and read their Bibles and then not live like it than it does for the people that are out there just partying it up and ignoring God entirely. Because a hypocrite can drive more people away from the church than a sinner can. The one who's looking righteous when everybody sees through that and sees the hypocrisy of it, that person can keep more people out of church. That's one of the devil's greatest tools, is to try to get us to not obey the gospel. Now, obeying the gospel, we sometimes think of obeying the gospel as those initial steps, and certainly that's part of it. But we need to continue to obey. We need to continue to walk according to that on throughout our lives. But there are those that will obey it, but another step in Satan's plan. He's always got another step. Okay, you did that. Well, but what about this one? I'll get you on the next one. He's always got a plan to get you next time. He never gives up. If there's one thing that we can learn from Satan, and one thing about Satan that we actually need to emulate, one thing we need to be like him, it's in the area of persistence, because he never gives up. Against all odds, he knows. He knows his eternal destination. You look at the case where Jesus was casting some demons out of a man, and they came saying, "Are you here to torment us before the time?" They knew the time was coming, but they knew it wasn't time yet. But they knew that their damnation was already set in stone. And the devil knows it too. You see, we have this misconception among people many times that the old saying, "I'd be better to rule in hell than serve in heaven." The only problem is you won't be ruling in hell. You'll be suffering torment for all eternity. There's no ruling. There's no pleasure there. There's no enjoyment. There's no upper class. You know, no hierarchy there. You know, we see all these cartoons and different things that show the devil sitting there punishing people in hell. No! The devil is not in charge in hell. The devil is suffering in hell. He has no power or authority there. It's his place of punishment. He'll be suffering like everyone else. He's not dishing the punishment out. And when we realize that, we should not fall into his traps. He's not going to overthrow God, and yet he's persistent. He doesn't give up. He still fights against God every step of the way. But the sixth thing we want to notice is that one of his steps in his plan to damnation is don't take it seriously. Again, he doesn't care if you make the church into a social gathering, just hang out, have a good time. Maybe you even like the singing. I remember talking to someone one time who had been very frustrated because the choir at their church, she said, "I couldn't stay." She said she finally left because the choir would be out partying on Saturday night and then up there singing songs to supposedly praise God Sunday morning with their hangovers. Well, that's kind of backwards. But they weren't taking it seriously. That's Satan's goal. Don't take it seriously. 1 Timothy 5:15 says, "For some are already turned aside to Satan." Just give up. Just quit. Just play around with it. Just don't be too serious about this thing. One particular atheist who is quite famous in our society actually said, "But we don't want to get rid of religion and churches. We just want to relegate them to their proper place in society as just an event that people get involved in on the weekend. We just don't want them to live it out the rest of their life. Just, you know, go to church, have a good time Sunday, sing, pray, do whatever you want. Just don't bring it back out of the building. Don't take it seriously, in other words. Just let it be something you go do just like other people might go to the movie or go to amusement park or this, that, or the other. Yeah, go to church. If that's what you want to do, go have fun with that. But just don't try to force it on anybody else or don't try to, live it, make a big deal out of it. Just have fun with it. Just don't take it seriously. That's Satan's plan. And then the seventh thing we want to notice in his plan, another step, is don't stick to it. Don't stick to it. In other words, give up. Quit. Luke 22, verses 3 through 4 says, "Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them." Now you think about Judas having been with Jesus, one of the 12. But he didn't stick to it. He quit. He turned aside. And not only did he turn aside, he actually turned Jesus over to the very people who were going to crucify him. That's how far he went. But how happy Satan is whenever people give up, whenever people fall away. It makes him happier. Really, in many ways, happier than if they had never obeyed the gospel initially. Because that's somebody he can put, well, there's somebody, they used to be a Christian, but they realized how silly it was, so they quit. And he can point to them as an example to other people. Oh yeah, you need to quit too, because, they realized it was silly. Oh, look at all the people that used to be, go to church and quit. You see, they realized it wasn't worth doing, and you shouldn't do it either. Satan has this all figured out. And he gets a lot of people with it. But then he wants us to not think about it. Don't think about it. That's the next step in his plan. Mark 14:72, the second time the cock crew, "And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, 'Before the cock crows twice, you shall deny me thrice.' And when he thought thereon, he wept." 2 Corinthians 7, verses 10 through 11 tells us that godly sorrow works repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worked death. "For behold, the selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge, in all things you have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter." Why? Because they thought about it. Satan loves it when we just go through the motions and when our heart's not in it, when we don't think about it, when we're just doing a ritual. Don't think about it. When we sing those songs, you know the words anyway. Just sing it. Don't pay attention to what the words really say. You don't need to think about what those words are saying in those songs. Satan is a master at getting people to do things without thinking. Don't think. You see, God says, on the other hand, "Come and let us reason together." God wants us to think. Now, I know sometimes people overthink themselves or they think in the wrong way, but there are many things that God wants us to think about and Satan doesn't want us to think about. God wants us to think about the harm we do to others when we commit sin. Satan doesn't want us to think about that. All he wants us to think is what feels, if it feels good, do it. That's all he cares about. Don't think. Don't think about the consequences. Don't think about others that may be harmed. Don't think about any of those things. Just have a good time. And he doesn't want us to think about the gospel either. He doesn't want us to think about our lost condition if we're lost. He doesn't want us to think about how to serve God better or how to please Him more or how to study better. He doesn't want us to think about any of those things. Another plan, another step in Satan's plan is don't tell anyone about it. Keep it a secret. You know, the Bible does tell us to keep the faith, but we're not supposed to keep it to ourselves. We're not supposed to share the faith. But Satan wins when we don't tell anyone. The only way that God has for the gospel to spread is for His disciples, His Christians, His children, to share that faith with others. Now, I know, He has the Bible. And it's possible for someone to pick the Bible up and read it and study it and learn it for themselves and obey it and become a Christian, but how rare a person that is that would be able to do that. I don't know about you, but I couldn't have learned it if someone hadn't taught me. Did you have somebody that taught you? Like the Ethiopian eunuch said to Philip, when Philip asked him if he understood what he was reading, he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And so Satan doesn't want us to tell anyone else about it. Because as long as they don't hear about it, then they won't know about it, they won't obey it. So he's glad to get them, and in the process, he can get us as well. If he can get us to not talk about it, not tell anyone about it, not share the gospel, not produce fruit in our lives, he can get us that way. And then, of course, another step, the last one that we'll look at, doubtfully, it's doubtful that this is the last step in his plan. He's always got one more step. But the last one we'll look at this morning is don't support it. Don't support it. Be a taker instead of a giver. Matthew 25, verses 41 through 46. Then he said also to those on the left hand, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was anhungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not." And they answered him, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee hungry, or thirsting, a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee?" And he shall answer them, saying, "I say unto you, verily, as inasmuch as ye did it to one of the least of these my brethren, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." You see, we've got to support the gospel and the spread of the gospel in our own lives, through financial means, through our time and our efforts, through our prayers, and through our individual acts of kindness to others, living it out in our lives. We support the gospel in all those ways. Satan doesn't want us to support the gospel. As we said earlier, he's perfectly happy for people to come and sit and do nothing and think that they're serving God. In fact, many times people will even call it, well, what time are your services? As Christians, our services need to be all week long. We come together on Sunday to worship God. There was one church building that had a sign on the back door. On one side it said, "Enter to worship." And on the other side it said, "Leave to serve." That's a good idea. That's what we need to be doing. if we think that coming together on a Sunday morning is our service to God, well, we've missed a large portion of what we're supposed to do as Christians. This is part of what we should do. We should come together. We should worship. We should sing and pray and partake of the Lord's Supper and give of our means. But when we leave this building throughout the week, we need to let our light shine. Just like the little kid song, this little Christian light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Shine all over the neighborhood. And we support the gospel by doing that just as much as by dropping money in the collection plate or by coming to worship. Certainly, those things are important. We don't need to stop doing those things. But that's not all there is to Christianity. If you've fallen prey to any of Satan's steps in his plan of damnation, if you've been taken captive by him, fallen into his snare, as 2 Timothy talked about, you can escape. God has a way of escape. The escape from Satan's plan of damnation is God's plan of salvation. If you will believe, if you will listen and hear what he said and believe it, and if you'll repent of your sins, change, and if you'll admit it, confess that Jesus is the Son of God, that it is true, if you'll be buried with him in baptism, if you'll obey the gospel, be buried with him in baptism to wash your sins away, then you can rise to walk a new life. That's just the beginning. That's not the end. That's the beginning. You then have to continue to live it throughout the rest of the days of your life. You can do that today, and you can get out of Satan's trap and get into God's hand. If you have a need to respond to God's invitation today for any reason, please do so as we stand and as we sing.